Amy, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us. Firstly, I think the question that all Australians need to try and address for themselves is, why are we so obsessed with giant things?
That's a really great question. I have a number of theories, many of which are way too detailed for me to get into. I think perhaps it's just that we've got these huge open expanses. And when we started building these in the 60s, people were just starting out on their summer holidays. We just finished all of our beautiful highways connecting Brisbane to Sydney to Melbourne. And people just thought, hey, why don't we put a massive banana on the side of the highway? You know, why not? So I think it's partly to do with that. But, you know, we were sort of copying a little bit off the Americans. They started doing this in the 1930s. So advertising, you know, roadside donut stalls and ice cream stands and things. So I think it's partly that too. We thought, hey, the Yanks are doing it. Why don't we?
Yeah, well, it seems like we've really taken off with it. And as you were saying, yeah, it does make for a nice little landmark. When you're on a lengthy road trip, it's nice to peer out the window and spot a giant novelty something to you know, remind you of where you are, where you're going and what you've been up to on the trip. So with talking about that stuff, now you just brought up the US. Now, we've seen in the US that some of the Confederate statues were pulled down, and a lot of these statues were built from pretty shoddy material. Are our iconic statues just as cheaply made and vulnerable?
Yes, if not more so. What tended to happen in the early years of our obsession with big things was people were doing this sort of on their own. They didn't necessarily have architects designing these, and they didn't have construction companies helping them put these up. So, you know, it was just a case of let's get our mates together on the weekend and, you know, get some chicken wire and some paper mache and just go from there. So we've got a lot of pretty disgusting looking structures now that just are desperate for a lick of paint, have been in the sun for several decades, so their colour's fading, and they're made out of really cheap materials, so they're also starting to sort of crumble away. So we've got a really good example is the big Captain Cook, who's up in Cairns. If you haven't seen a photo of him, I would encourage everyone to Google him. He's had what we call concrete cancer in his legs. So the concrete itself has actually started to eat away. There's every risk that he could fall off his own feet and land in the middle of the Cook Highway. So there's a real issue there.
Yeah, well, aside from the, you know, the aesthetic degradation, that does sound like it's a pretty big hazard. How much of a hazard do these statues starting to degrade and possibly fall down? How much of a hazard do they pose?
Oh, it's a real problem. So a great example is it used to be a big cow or a big bull in Wauchope on the New South Wales mid-north coast. And I believe the owner had to make the horrible decision to close him down. I think he may now have been demolished because he was quite concerned that the bull's, pardon me for being so indelicate, the bull's testicles were looking pretty precarious and might have fallen off and hit someone and killed them. So he had to close the whole thing. So it's definitely a real issue. And even the ones that are staying open, they're now having to spend a lot of money on extra insurance for public liability and that sort of thing.
Right. Well, that was going to be my next question for you. What are the costs involved with maintaining and keeping these sort of things safe and public liability? Is it worth maintaining these giant icons?
See, this is the million-dollar question. I love these things, so I'm sort of a bit of a sentimentalist. I think there are definitely a number of them that we need to save. It would be horrible to see our big banana go or the big merino at Goulburn or the big pineapple up here where I am. But there's definitely a lot of them. So that means that we are going to have to make some pretty tough decisions in the future. We can't save all of them. There's definitely over 200, maybe 300 by my last count. So we can't afford to keep them all. And it is quite expensive. So we know, for instance, Larry the Lobster, the big lobster down in South Australia, he's been in the news recently because he's been on the market. He failed to sell at auction recently. So if any of your listeners are interested in buying a big lobster, he's probably still for sale. And we know that the current owners had to spend, I think it was $50,000 recently, giving him a bit of a new paint job and fixing up some of his limbs. So it is an ongoing expense for people.
I understand. Yeah, the lobster's quite a big one. And I understand that in the manufacture of the lobster, there was actually a miscalculation in the scaling of it, and it wound up being a lot bigger than intended.
That's so, right. I think they thought it was going to be feet, and they ended up building it in meters instead. So, yes, that's certainly the sort of thing that we see with big things. There's always little funny stories like that. Same actually for Captain Cook. They thought he was only going to be 8 feet tall, and he ended up being 8 meters tall. So, yes, bit of a miscalculation.
Yeah, the imperial metric crossover hasn't worked out too well The giant things. Now, Amy, as you were just saying, a lot of these statues have really quirky, fun stories that I think everybody loves. They're sort of ingrained in Australian culture now, the giant statues. Do you think that we're going to see community backlash if it gets to the point where we have to take them down?
Yes, absolutely. And this is why I think we need to start steeling ourselves for the inevitable. So we've already had these conversations. The big prawn in Ballina, for instance, it used to sit on top of a sort of lookout area, and you'd had to drive past it. If you were going between Sydney and Brisbane, people would have seen it. It was looking in terrible condition a few years back, and the Ballina Council passed a movement to have it demolished, and people were devastated. There was just this huge outcry. In fact, it actually made international news, and in the end, it was because a local business ended up stepping in and bought the land and promised as part of that to redevelop the prawn, give him a new paint job, and that was what allowed him to stay. So we are going to have some pretty tough conversations, and I think people will be really emotional in both ways. I think there is also a large contingent of people that hate big things, I've found in my research, and think they should just all be burnt down. So have a big barbecue and just cook all the aging seafood and vegetables up.
Well, it's nice to hear that there are other sides to it. Amy, thanks so much for joining us this morning to talk a little bit about what's happening with all of these. I think it's always fun to hear a little bit of the stories behind these giant statues. So I really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure.